session of Weight Off Your Shoulders. And in my studio, I have now both Susanna and Benjamin Alter, who are naturopathic doctors. And I want to welcome the both of you right now to KD&K and its listeners, who are hopefully listening with rapt attention.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ed, for having us on the show.
Well, it was an absolute delight meeting you guys and being on your podcast. And, you know, obviously, as naturopathic doctors, a lot of people don't know what that means. And I want you to, you know, just explain the differences between a naturopathic doctor and an MD and, say, an osteopath or a chiropractor. And then why you went into the area of medicine where you are now.
Okay, great place to start. Well, I'd say, you know, the similarities between a naturopathic doctor and DOs and MDs are that we do have a 4-year medical training. However, in that medical training, we do receive the same 2 years, the same basic science curriculum that DOs and MDs receive. But then when we get into the therapeutics and the actual clinical application of the medicine, that's where we really stand out. We focus more on nature-based medicines. We focus on really treating the whole person, really getting at the root cause of what's causing the person's symptoms.
Yeah. To that, I would add one distinct thing that sets naturopathic medicine apart from other holistic medical practices is that in naturopathic medicine, we have this philosophy, this principle, and this understanding that the body is actually always healing itself. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the role of the practitioner is not to heal the person, but to simply provide and create an environment that optimizes that the natural healing that is inevitably happening.
Okay. So for some of the listeners out there, basically, please do correct as you need to. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'll make a few mistakes more than normal. But you're basically treating each person as an individual organism, a system, if you will, of living cells that function symbiotically and make us who we are, as opposed to treating, like, say, just, you know, in a particular organ or a particular type of tissue. You're not necessarily looking at you know, some particular tissue pathology, but you're looking at what can you do to enhance everything else about that organism, meaning a human being, yeah, to have that human being repair itself from these various types of, insults, I guess, or traumas, or who knows what, pathogens.
Absolutely. That's 100% correct. And to that, I would also add beyond the physical, because a lot of health conditions and diseases and symptoms are manifested in the realm of our mind and our thinking and our mindset and our emotional relationships that we have in our world. And I think that's really where the conventional medical paradigm is significantly falling short, because there's simply not time allowed for natural healing to happen, those relationship mindset sort of therapies to be addressed. And obviously we separate mental health and emotional health from physical health. There's psychiatrists, there's counselors, there's therapists. But when we can weave it together and understand the whole person as the multidimensional being that they are, then we can really, you know, expedite the healing, not only in the realm of the physical body, but also in the realm of the mind and the emotions and just our mental well-being.
Okay, do you think that is kind of like the idea of of an integrated approach as opposed to looking for a particular silver bullet kind of thing, where somebody's looking at various types of therapies that'll just handle this one little thing, you know, and then also, you know, crossing a bridge that may not exist. The idea that people will be prescribed things like opiates, and as well as some kinds of superfluous antibiotics that don't really take care of the problem, or in the case of opiates, it stops some people from healing from injuries or problems because you're not getting that signaling back to the brain because the central nervous system is being shut down, I imagine, through the brainstem without going into any more technical details.
Yeah, well, that's a really good example of how in both the conventional realm of medicine and also the natural realm of medicine, we can do all sorts of things to suppress symptoms and manage symptoms, but kind of forget about, you know, treating the real root of the cause or really reversing the disease. And so in our practice, we really focus on those modalities or those types of medicinal interventions that really focus on supporting the whole organism, like what you're saying, really supporting the healing process. And so, yeah, a lot of times our therapies don't look so targeted, like, you know, this specific herb for your, you know, heart or your liver. Sometimes that's warranted, but many times the most powerful medicine to really reverse disease it is the medicine that treats the whole body.
Okay, so it's kind of like a classic definition of what a tonic or an elixir would be, where you're taking something that increases the wellness of the whole organism, and because everything else is stronger, this quote weaker unquote part or you know section of that person can then be aided because everything else is in so much better shape. Kind of like maybe somebody who has, like an athlete that may break a leg or something like that, they're more likely to heal faster than someone who is not athletic and does nothing, and then they have the exact same type of break. Is that something?
When you're talking about a tonic, what I hear is some sort of potion or, you know, supplement or something that we take in. And really our focus is on our life. Like, how are we living on a moment-to-moment, day-to-day basis? And that is really what dictates our level of health. A lot of people, you know, are running around stressed out and eating junk food and not drinking water, drinking pop, drinking alcohol, drinking coffee, and just kind of, you know, living by the skin of their teeth in life. And then, and I don't know if that's the expression.
Well, no, you use some Midwestern terms. You use pop and skin of your teeth.
I'm not from the Midwest.
That's amazing. Because I was born in Maryland. Oh, I've never heard those. I don't hear that anymore.
Me too. I've never heard Ben say pop.
Well, but anyways, you know, then something happens. And it's like there's a diagnosis and there's a chronic symptom. And then we look at just that tip of the iceberg and try to suppress that and get that back below the surface. But we have to realize that manifested from years, decades, a lifetime of living out of balance, living misaligned with nature. So when we're talking about reversing disease, we're talking about coming back into alignment with nature, which looks like, you know, living a natural, healthy lifestyle, eating a natural, healthy diet, drinking natural, healthy spring water, things like that. Just the basics are the most powerful when we're talking about reversing disease.
Okay, so the person that I mean, these are kinds of things that I think are important to discuss so people understand. We're not looking for that Panax ginseng or, you know, yeah, or an opiate prescription or simply, you know, an adjustment. You're looking for things that would be better treated by having a lifestyle that's holistic at an early age. And the earlier you start it, the better off you are in the future.
Well, I'll tell you what's so much more powerful than the Panax ginseng or the turmeric or the, you know, the capsule of whatever it is a foundation of health that is strong. And then you put that on top of that and then you're Superman. You know, that's where those supplements are, you know, meant to be used. They're called supplements because they're supposed to be supplementing a healthy lifestyle.
Not fundamental.
They're not fundamentalins.
Well, we'll just coin some words right here, man. I love it. Well, hopefully, obviously, the audience understands what you mean. Audience, you better understand this. All right. So, how did you guys decide to go into this field as opposed to something else?
Great question. Well, I actually had no intention to go into any field of medicine when I was young until I myself became sick with chronic joint pain, chronic GI issues, skin issues, anxiety. It was all kind of wrapped up together when I was in my early 20s. And I went to doctor after doctor after doctor and was prescribed some medications to help kind of, quench the symptoms a little bit. But nothing really was lasting in terms of helping me feel better. And then I finally went to a doctor who was trained holistically. And just like what Ben described, he had a very foundational approach to health. He helped me change my diet. He did give me some supplements, but really the focus was on lifestyle medicine. And my eyes were open to the power of these, you know, simple things that we take for granted, like good food, good water, healthy movement, healthy mindset. And sure enough, it was the ticket to help me heal and feel better. And so it really inspired me then to get into this field so that I can also support people in their healing journeys.
Now, this sounds really kooky, and I hope it's not insulting, but isn't that in a way describing an enhanced placebo effect where the person simply now starts feeling better? I mean, it is a measurable thing in studies that there is this effect that people simply believe they're going to get better. They have a better mental and emotional and spiritual attitude about some pathology that they may be dealing with. And so simply because of that, they get better. Their brain starts producing the right kinds of hormones, getting the right kind of feedback and sending that information back to areas that who the heck knows how that actually works. I don't know how the brain is able to send. I mean, something is in there, but the information is going and it's received and then action is taken. And are you guys, in a sense, you're describing kind of like an enhancement of that and optimizing that. And then, and only then, are you taking a look at things that may accelerate that process, like a different kind, like the turmeric or the ginseng or the, you know, melatonin for people who need to go to sleep, or CBD to, in, you know, cut down inflammation, cayenne pepper, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I always have thought that the, you know, the placebo effect is very interesting. And what's most interesting is that in scientific studies, they try to avoid it, or, you know, they set that aside, and, you know, they set that as the mark to beat in their scientific pursuits. And for me, it's like, why can't we use that? Why, if the placebo effect is so powerful that we have to consider it very strongly in our scientific studies, why can't we leverage that power of the mind and also build upon that? Why can't we, you know, use our mindset, use our thinking, and go from there rather than just disregard it? So I'm kind of speaking to a...
I'm not sure
if I'm answering a question.
No, because that's something that, you know, I've always been interested in, because you read these studies and they come out and say, well, there's a placebo effect of, 1.3% or...
Yeah, it's always about 50%. It's always about 50%.
Well, yeah, just under, whatever 50%, it is. Yeah. I mean, and they put it in there. And they say, well, we can't, figure out why there's this enhancement based on, you know, somebody getting a sugar pill, which should make things usually worse because it's sugar, and, you know, some enteric-coated sugar pill, and then they get better, you know. And so it's like, well, why isn't that being the main focus as opposed to some pharmacological effect of some laboratory chemical is being dumped into someone? That was immediately my question when I was reading about that as a kid. You know, I was like, wow,
what is that?
Why are they getting rid of this? You don't even have to put some weird chemical in there, and a person's getting better. Why not look at how that brain is actually dealing with hope and with you know, dreams and with meditation about wellness and spiritual connected to self and you know, and so forth, and to family and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of brand, you know, makes me think of my story of how I got into naturopathic medicine.
Oh, we
got
to hear it, Ben. Okay. Come on, out with it.
You know, there's the, you know, 3-hour long version, and there's the 3-minute long version. So we'll keep it short. But when I was living abroad after I finished college,
Where were you living?
I was in Hungary, in Eastern Europe, and I always knew I wanted to be a doctor. And I kind of took this gap year to have some fun and also do some research. I was working in a scientific laboratory. And anyways, I was getting sick very consistently, like every week. I would come down with some chronic symptoms of, you know, nausea, vomiting, and just chronic fatigue. And I thought it was something I was eating or drinking or something like that. And then it just clicked upon me like one day that I was really feeling homesick and really just feeling lonely and out of my element. And I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And I kind of had this aha moment that it was all in my head, so to speak. It was all in my thoughts. And that's when I started meditating. I knew what meditation was. I had heard about it. And I just sat myself down and assured myself that everything was okay. And like, I'm okay. This is not a permanent thing. I'm only here for a few more months. Like, I can do this. And I did it. And from that moment forward, I never had any other symptoms. And it kind of, I had this awakening, like, I want to be a mind-body sort of doctor. I didn't really know what that meant, but I want to be like a holistic medical doctor of some sort. So I came back and continued to push up against that and try and, you know, applied to medical school and conventional medical programs and all of that. And in the meantime, I met a naturopathic doctor who said, you might want to consider going this route. You'll be fighting a lot less. It'll be more graceful for you. And I was like, yeah, whatever. So I, you know, was confident when I applied to conventional medical programs, and sure enough, I was denied. And I was shocked for 2 seconds, and then it was a light bulb. Like, that's not my path. There was like this fork in the road and this roadblock, and boom, naturopathic medicine it is. So, you know, that's kind of how it unfolded for me. And so it started with meditation and the mindset anyway, and it's evolved into, you know, our practice is now mainly focused on nutrition and lifestyle and, you know, behavior and also a lot of mindset stuff. But yeah,
that's really interesting, because you know, when you bring up meditation and so forth, and one of the things that, you know, you brought up anxiety and you know, nausea. Sometimes those are, I think I could be wrong. Again, correct me. Associated with increased cortisol levels, which appear to be extremely negative and may prohibit healing and getting well. In fact, will make you sick because it weakens the entire organism, as I understand it.
You got it, yeah.
Okay, so basically what happened is when you started meditating, you may have literally reduced cortisol levels,
yeah,
which allowed you to simply get better. In other words, you feel like it was like clearing the deck, so now you could walk without tripping and going overboard?
Right. On one hand, we can call it a placebo effect or whatever you will. But on the other hand, it is the branch of the nervous system that directs us towards healing, which we know as the parasympathetic branch of the nervous system, as opposed to the sympathetic branch of the nervous system, which most people are living in our world today. They're living with elevated cortisol levels, like you said, that are intended to be elevated. Nature has put cortisol in our bloodstream for a reason, so that we can escape from harm's way when we need to. But now in our world today, people are living trying to escape from harm's way when they're not in any harm. They're just totally bombarded with stimuli and whatever it is, you know, chronic low-grade stress that activates their sympathetic nervous system. So yes, you hit the nail on the head, and it's all about, you know, tonifying, as if you will, the parasympathetic nervous system, the branch of the nervous system that programs us towards healing.
Okay. Now, we brought up the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous systems. I think it's really important that people have an understanding, at least very cursory definition. Which of you would like to?
Susanna.
Sure. Right. I'll take that question. Yeah, so when we look at these two branches of the nervous system, we can think of the sympathetic nervous system as the fight or flight response. So, you know, back in the day when we were running from bears and tigers and crazy things like that, it was the branch of our nervous system that helped increase our heart rate, helped us see better, help us breathe faster so that we could run, escape, and survive that threat. But the parasympathetic nervous system, on the other hand, is the rest and digest branch of the nervous system. So that helps to slow the heart rate down, lower the cortisol, lower the adrenaline, and help us rest and digest our food. And we add on to that, that it's the rest, digest, and heal branch of the nervous system. And so that would be my explanation of the two. And I do want to get back to the question that you asked before about, you know, my healing mm-hmm. process. Do I think it was just placebo or the actual, you know, physical changes that I was making? And I'll answer this by describing a little bit about our philosophy in lifestyle medicine, because we understand the foundation of health as being comprised of 7 ingredients, and those are food, air, water, movement, thoughts, relationship, and purpose. And so you'll see there are 4 of those determinants of health focused in the physical realm, and then the 3 are focused more in the mental realm. And so we see the mental realm as being so crucial and so important, but so is what we're doing in the physical realm to take care of our physical body. And that's why we focus so much on nutrition in our practice as well.
All right. Now, I actually want you to repeat those 7 things, okay? I bet you haven't memorized. And I want people to know how you can be reached.
Yeah. Food.
Air.
Water.
Movement.
Thought.
Relationship.
Purpose.
And you can reach us at our website, which is www.alter.health. There is no .com. And you'll see all of the offerings that we have. We work with people individually. We work with people in group settings. We have a podcast. We have
a new online course that guides people through mastering these 7 fundamental medicines that we call in our lifestyle medicine repertoire. And that's called Medicinal Living. And you can find more information about that at our website as well.
And you guys are on Instagram, too. Is that correct?
Of course. Who isn't? Just kidding. I know some people aren't. It's okay.
Well, the reason why I mention that is that some people are into that and, you know, may get, you know, some of your feeds if they're tuned in. So what is your Instagram site?
Our Instagram is alter.health. And then we also have our personal accounts, which are Dr. Susanna Alter and Dr. Benjamin Alter.
No dots after the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now that's awesome. So what do you see as kind of like the future for naturopathic medicine in healthcare? And we'll start with this country and maybe explain it to, expand it to planetary or planet wide.
Oh boy. Well, I think I have, you know, I've got kind of an angel devil scenario. On one hand, I'm very utopian. I see a world where everyone is equipped and empowered, having this information on how to live their healthy life, put more health in their life, more years in their life, and also more life in their years. And avoid the medical system, because actually the medical system is the 3rd leading cause of death in our society, the proper practice of conventional medicine.
The protocols literally are 1/3.
The 3rd leading cause of death behind heart disease, which has always been leading cause in cancer. So, you know, we can avoid that. We can avoid the 15 or 14 out of the 15 leading causes of death by being living empowered, living with this information. So I envision a world where actually, you know, medical providers are not, intervening in the way that they are. They're intervening with knowledge, with information, with inspiration that supports people in living their healthiest life. So I didn't really speak to the current system. I guess, you know, ideally, maybe the current system just holds its place as emergency medicine, battlefield medicine, what it was initially intended to be.
Okay, so we're dealing with the difference between traumatic types of, as you say, battlefield medicine, and, you know, the heroic, okay, stop the bleeding, and all right, he's going to be okay kind of deal. And versus someone who's coming in and like, well, I need to you know, take care of this thing. I seem to be just, you know, tired and, you know, or you know, this bruise won't heal kind of thing. And, you know, so the more chronic issues.
Exactly.
So you're preventing the chronic catastrophes, which...
Preventing and reversing chronic disease.
Okay, and that's important. Preventing and reversing chronic maladies that affect human beings.
Correct.
At least most of us are human. All right. Thank you guys so much. And we are up with our next programming.